Join us this week as Stephen and Rick debate, does responsible sourcing pay for itself, or is this an increased cost? They discuss the benefits of spending locally and why we should aim to purchase from responsible sourcing suppliers. Other issues covered include the role of the consumer within ethical sourcing and why we as consumers need to change our priorities.
So Stephen, responsible sourcing, does it pay for itself or is this a new cost that business has got to get to grips with? What's your thoughts?
No, done correctly, it won't pay for itself. It is a new cost that's going to have to be picked up within the supply chain as an investment in responsible supply chains. But then that cost needs to be passed on to consumers with fair, transparent, visible communications. Here is our supply chain. What the supply chain looks like. Who are the suppliers within that supply chain? And what investments we're making as a business to improve the lot of people and planet as part of that supply chain. And whether that's a mining supply chain, going back into mining and making sure that all of the people involved in the mining, the primary mining operation, are well looked after, or whether it be cotton pickers in a textiles supply chain, or whether it be farmers and coca pickers or tea plantation workers, etc. Regardless of the supply chain, money is going to have to be cascaded down through the supply chain to ensure that every person earns a living fair wage relative to the part of the world that they live in. And if that's happening, that is a cost. That has to go onto the product. And the consumer has to pay for that product. That's you, that's me.
Isn't that really interesting though in terms of observing the mechanism through which we're going to deliver this? So hitherto, you know, you've had emerging forays into this world with things like fair trade and sort of association with organic and all of these sort of purpose-driven sort of umbrella brands and schemes to communicate to us as consumers that, and it's a subtle art, it's saying there's something wrong here, but buy this because this solves that ill. And that's really, I mean, I've talked to marketeers about this over the years and some of the jobs I've done and on behalf of farmers, and I've always been really frustrated that these stories don't get told. And the counter I've always had to this is, yeah, but you've got to be really careful here, Rick, because, you know, at point of purchase, people don't want bad news. Of course they want good news, they want to hear good things, but that's a really fine balancing act to sell these benefits. So, you know, what you just talked about there around the fair wage, you know, you would argue fair trade have got that message across very well. You know, they've pointed to an inequity in a certain part of the world with how things are produced, such as bananas and cocoa and all these kind of things, cotton. And we as consumers have subtly heard those messages and been prepared to pay more. How do we get that across wholesale, across all of these goods we're buying, and then have more general inflation to pay for that?
It's about communication and education. And I kind of disagree, but it's easy to disagree with the general marketing story that consumers don't want bad news. I think brands and retailers need to be more transparent to consumers and recognise, if you take fair trade as an example, or soil association or organic as an example, they need to say, right, if you choose the fair trade product or you choose the organic product, this is what you're paying. So that's the good story.
Yeah.
But you're paying a premium for this because the farmers and the growers are getting that premium, or most of that premium. But also I think we need to, and retailers can do this because consumers want to buy anyway. A retailer could come out and say, and I'm not a retailer, so it's easy to get on this soapbox, but could come out and say, if you do not buy fair trade bananas, this is what's happening in that supply chain.
I suppose the challenge for them to do that though is guilt complex, isn't it? It could be argued that, well, if that's happening in the supply chain and you've been sourcing Wynwood Bananas for 25 years, Mr. Retailer. Why has it taken until now? And why are you asking me to solve those problems that you've been the architect of?
I suppose, yeah. you put me on the spot now, trying to solve the retailer's challenges. But hey-ho, like I said, I think fundamentally, we're at we could be at a juncture as an economy where we can put our hands up and say, yeah, we recognise that what has happened. We did a chat recently about business as usual.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Business as usual no longer is appropriate.
Mm.
So hands up and say, yeah, these practices we're not comfortable with. These are the reasons why.
Mm.
But we are. There's a phrase I use in our businesses when the proverbial hits the fan. what am I going to do about it? Well, we are where we are.
Mm.
We are where we are. We can't go back in time and change. We are where we are with the issues in our supply chains. But what we could do is put our hand up and say, we're not comfortable with where we are.
Yes.
With slavery in our supply chain.
Mm.
There is an alternative way of sourcing these products.
Mm.
And fair trade is one of multiple schemes. I'm not promoting fair trade, I'm just giving it as an example. But we could say, right, we can source fair trade, this is how it works, and this is the price.
Mm.
Or we can continue business as usual. And yeah, you'll save a few coppers or a few pennies on that product. But you need to recognise that few pence that you have saved, Rick, means that we cannot give assurances that children are not being taken advantage of in that supply chain, or people are not being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So for those bananas that you're buying for your family that you're spending 90p on, if you spend 95p, not a huge difference, we can give you the assurance.
I like what you said there about education. And I think that's the key, isn't it? Is that we're consumed within an industry that we've spent all our lives in, and therefore that's what's opened our eyes to some of the ills and some of the weaknesses within that. And so we're aware of them when we buy goods. Mm. You know, we, because of what we're doing with Star Index and some of the people we're working with, it's opening our collective eyes right now to similar issues, but in other industries. Mm. And it's once again changing our behaviour, because we've talked about this, about things we buy. So I suppose it's a case of how do you therefore amplify that? And maybe, I mean, it's just a thought, you know, where you've got celebrity chefs on TV, you've got Netflix with series like Rotten telling us about the systemic issues in these supply chains. Maybe there's an opportunity there for delivery of these messages and this amnesty, if that's what's needed, around these issues, that takes that responsibility off these big retailers to a degree and says, educates us as consumers to say, look, here are the problems in these supply chains. You go vote with your purse.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. You go vote with your purse, because that's what we believe in. But let's be honest, we're immersed in this space and have been for a while, and we're passionate about this.
Mm.
And as you said, we're looking at this. We're not struggling financially compared to other people in society as well. One of the retorts I often hear is, well, we need cheap food because a lot of people have food poverty and are struggling to feed themselves, etc. But I have a feeling that that's actually wrong.
Mm.
That actually it's an easy retort to maintain the status quo. I could get into a lot of trouble for this, but hey-ho. I believe that, I read somewhere that consumers in the UK now spend 10% of their income on food, whereas in the 70s, it was 25% of their income on food. That's a massive reduction. So for everyone's income, 10 pence in the pound gets spent on food, and 90 pence in the pound gets spent on everything else. For me, a big element of that everything else is the mobile phone contracts and the technological revolution, the subscriptions to Sky Sports, etc.
I know
people are spending £100 a month on Sky subscriptions to include movies or sports or whatever.
Mm.
As I mentioned in one of our previous chats, We cancelled our subscription, and we were on a basic subscription at £60. And we're not, as a family, we're not struggling financially. Mm. But even I thought, that's £720 per year that we stopped spending. Whereas you have people, families, who are spending £1,200 per year, for example, on a Sky subscription. Sorry, Sky, I'm just using an example. It could be mobile phone contracts, any of these subscriptions. But actually, if you think about, that's after tax earnings. So thinking out loud, that person has to earn £1,600, maybe £2,000
just to pay for
gross to pay for this stuff. So have we lost our focus on what's important? And if you take food as an example, I think we are what we eat. And if we eat good quality food and good quality produce and eat a healthy diet, it has huge benefits to us individually from a health and fitness point of view, from society, from the point of view of a reduction in obesity and reduction in strain on the NHS, etc. So I think people need to change their priorities a little bit.
And I think some of that is, I wholeheartedly agree with you. The encouraging signs for me during COVID, with all the bad things it brought, is we started to reconnect with that. And the fact that I'm in my little sleepy close alone, you know, all of a sudden box deliveries, you know, local milk was being delivered, box deliveries were arriving, and, you know, casual conversations I had on the street all of a sudden with neighbours that I'd said no more than hello to for a decade, and they understood what I did for a living, and we got talking. It felt was a real awakening, actually, and not really necessarily pressed by me. They were saying to me, you know what, I don't know how we slept walked into this, and that was their term, one of them used, you know, I've slept walked into this, you know, disposable society of my time being at such a premium that I'll get a ping and pop meal, I'll get stuff delivered to my door, with wanton disregard for how the hell it's getting there and how things are being treated. And it really, and I talk to these people regularly now, and these habits have lasted. They're still getting the deliveries. They're more and more interested. They're using our local farm shop. They do. So these things hopefully will stay. You know, it's habits. That's how we, that's how our lives work. But I suppose to your point, you know, this is a relatively AB socio-demographic close, you know, with a couple of nice cars on the drive, and, you know, and they've still got their Sky Sports subs. Your housewife in Birmingham, who's a single mother with three kids, you know, that's the pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the challenge there, if we take the example of the single mum with three kids, probably living on her own, true circumstance, etc., with very constrained means, we have to provide a fair society. But also, if we recognise that if that person has good cookery skills and has learned to cook or been taught to cook in school, you can prepare a really good meal for not a huge amount of money. Yeah, from good quality local produce. And but the problem is, if we've lost cookery skills.
Yes.
And I never thought I'd be a home economist on these chats. But we've lost basic cookery skills, and we've created a massive industry around ready meals, for example, and around takeaways. And we had a chat around the delivery economy and the gig economy and Uber Eats and all of these type of things and takeaways. But actually, those are expensive. You can produce a really good quality meal for a fraction of the price of a less nutritionally balanced meal and a less sustainable meal. So it's how we educate consumers that actually they're better going to the local farm, buying local produce, buying locally grown meat, making their own meals. Not only will they have healthier food, they will save money, and they'll help solve the climate crisis and support the local economy. And it's a pet subject of mine, that the local economy, because I read somewhere that if you spend a pound locally, there is a multiplier of 3 times.
Correct.
Yeah. And with my accent, I'd prefer if it was a multiplier of 4, but it is.
It's true.
So sorry. So we need to have subtitles or whatever on that section. But if we spend locally, there's a massive local multiplier benefit. So everyone wins.
And so going full circle on the conversation, getting back to responsible sourcing, I guess we've took a helicopter view of that now, haven't we? But that's right. It's about that personal responsibility of what you're seeking to purchase and serve to your children and why. And therefore, that value judgment that, yes, that should be worth more. I should be prepared to pay more because the overall benefit that this is going to give to health, my children, my future, the local economy, primary producers, all of those things.
And this doesn't have to be a zero-sum game.
No.
We've got to break out of the race to the bottom.
Yes.
Because where's the race to the bottom going to end?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can't just keep getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah.
Because the end point is zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to stop and we're going to have to start increasing prices.
Mm-hmm.
But as a society and as an economy, we have the same amount of money to spend.
Yes.
So if prices start to go up, we then have to consume less.
Yes.
But actually, all the businesses that are in that supply chain are selling a little bit less from a volume point of view, but at a higher price. So financially, this is the accountant in me, financially it can still be quids in, not lose out financially, but sell less from a volume point of view, and help solve some of the challenges we have as a society and as a planet.
Listen next week as we discuss all things sustainability, ESG and business resilience. As always, our theme of without visibility, there is no accountability is prevalent. Is there something you would like to hear us cover? Then get in touch at star-index.com.